bid from Bob Tyler from NRCS, which is at,
that's for all of, Stephen came down and redid that fiber down Cleveland, like Tyler ran one, split it off to where the south side came down separate, because the south side still shut out. We're going to do Walmart Hospital, send them thing.
Split it up into two sections.
And then all the way up to Durham, yeah.
Okay.
So we split that in two sections. So this was to come and do all the work to change the plan.
So that was basically just labor, or?
Yeah, travel.
Yeah.
Make motion to approve the claim.
I'll second. Okay. I second motion to approve the invoices dated December 30, 2021 and January 30, 2022. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Those opposed, no. One public comment card, Ms. Jennifer Shelton.
We had turned in the minutes that you guys wanted from that last meeting. We said we'd get to you guys from the Parks and Rec meeting from December 8th. So I didn't know if you guys had gotten it or not, or if not, I have one.
Did
you have one?
Okay.
And then it just had in there about the Parks and Rec director and how everything went. So then there was something in the newspaper that said, they thought that the mayor had thought that our system was flawed. We are just looking for a process from you guys or from Mr. Avery or from the mayor or whoever wants to get together with that and do that for us so that we can have a step-by-step process so that whatever you guys feel like that we're doing is flawed is no longer. I think you have a group of very honest, caring people on your board right now, and I think things like that being put in the paper, I think, are hurting your board, and I think it makes me very sad, just to be honest. Makes me feel like I've done something wrong, and we haven't. I think there was more to what was happening than being said out loud, and I think it's being put off on the board. So we would really like a process to go by. I'm not one that likes to sit by and just let people more or less bully me. I don't even like that word. I think it's a silly word, but I was told that, Mr. Walker would really hate to see us go back to where it was when only people in city limits could be on the Parks and Rec board. Justin Brown was told that if they needed to, Mr. Avery could get our texts and our phone logs. This is coming from Justin Brown, who is our president. I'm hoping he will make it to one of these meetings one day. But they like to communicate with Justin, and then this is what I'm and the rest of us are left to do, is to come here and communicate. So, and maybe they have done that and we just missed out on it, but we're really trying, like I said last time, to just get this process going, and all these other little things that are happening and getting in the way, I feel like are very uncalled for and just unnecessary, and I would like nothing more than just a process, like I said, so that we could follow it, so that our names aren't getting dragged through the newspaper. We really care about the community and the kids, and we also really care about the next director. We thought we did a good job getting the last one. We followed the steps that we have followed before with Mr. Avery. We interviewed. And we asked the same questions we were asked to each individual, like we had been told the last time. And then we went to offer a second interview, and that's when we were told that that person would not be getting hired. Not because our system was flawed, but because they were not allowing us to hire that person. So I just wanted to put that out there. I'm also able to be in contact with, if you guys need any more information, our next meeting is at the
11th?
12th. Okay, January 12th. If any of you would like to come, we will have the next board meeting minutes from you guys after that one, once they have been approved. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kim.
Mr. Avery,
you
want to answer that?
I heard Justin Brown that his text messages and emails can be sunshine. I didn't say I wanted them or I'm going after them or anything like that. I told him that if they're communicating by text message and doing votes, that it had to stop because we can't do that. I also explained to him that everything needs to be posted before decisions are made. So that was a conversation I had with him about the sunshine. Mayor, I also contacted Stuart Haynes at MML, and he suggested we have the Parks Board review the Sunshine Law webinar that's on MML's website. So that's also available if you want to do that.
Okay. And I just like, I'll clarify a little bit more in detail with the part about that the Parks and Rec being in town. That is a great one, Paul.
That's what the state
statute says. I just kind of have an issue, and I don't know if anybody else does in the community, whenever you have tax entity coming in from people in town, and you have people out of town just telling you where you're going to spend that money. Is that, you see kind of an issue there?
I do. I just didn't know what it had to do with the,
okay, so
what we were talking about at the time.
It's nothing against the Parks Board whatsoever, but I mean, you can kind of see, while that might be an issue, as far as that goes, and I understand why the state statute is written that way. So.
Can you tell them what they did that was flawed?
Maybe we'll start off with the first question of the interview. Whenever they didn't have questions or the same questions or written questions or anything there for the first person that actually interviewed. So then whenever you have another person that interviews there, to me they don't have an equal opportunity. Whenever you don't know if they had the same questions, if they had different questions, or anything else that went on with that. So, you know, it started off with the first interview process there, and they all need to be the exact same.
So we have a set of questions that we've asked Parks and Rec directors for the last, you guys definitely even interviewed Stetson and them. Did you not have a set of questions? What about the
one that just happened in the fall? Those set of questions were Justin Brown and I can believe.
Where were those questions?
They're on my computer.
And they weren't, but could we not have got them to the Parks Board members, or did you guys not have them?
Justin came up to get them, and from what Justin said, him and Heather looked for them and could not find them.
And I was here. I was at the interview.
So I think that there was...
So those of us that...
I think that there was an attempt made to get a set of questions to ask them. I don't know that that was...
The only issue with that is the attempt doesn't change the process.
I think we could have probably gotten it.
So the ones of us that were at that previous meeting with interview with Mr. Avery, we asked the questions that we could remember from that interview, and then those are the following questions that we wrote, and we asked the rest of the people that interviewed.
So I do want to address something tonight while Mr. Edson's here, and there's been some discrepancy about it. Our ordinance in the Parks and Rec, and it's on our website, says that the Park Board shall interview and recommend to the full council a recommendation for a Parks Director. That's the way we've always done it in the past. Until the last Parks Director was hired, and that was Mr. Avery hired him without going through the council. Is that your understanding, Brad? Is that ordinance there? I mean, I think there needs to be some clarity in that, because what's our Park Board for if they're going to do all the interviews? And then it's up to somebody else to hire.
We do have a specific ordinance about Park Board interviewing the candidates, make recommendations.
It's behind you, number 9.
Okay.
So is that the
order? So the issue. Continue talking about this.
Well, I think we should, because I think it's...
So the issue with the process was a quorum of Parks Board members met and made a decision for the city without posting it, which violates the Sunshine Law. We don't do anything without posting meetings.
I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about the future.
We had an agenda. We posted it. Is it Angie Long? Is that correct? Is that who's here when you're not here? typed it up and sent it to you and posted it. Mr. Avery, I believe, is what she had told me, and I double-checked, and I asked her and Heather to send that to you the last time.
I can pass it around again. There's nothing about interviewing. There's nothing about closed session. There's nothing about any personnel matters being done. So we have to follow the sunshine.
Okay. But I just want clarity for the park board.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed it. They'll select, we got 25 candidates. They'll select six candidates. They'll interview them. They'll make the recommendation for their hire to the Board of Aldermen. Is that correct?
Sure.
Okay. So I talked to Justin last night, and he wanted some clarity on that. So, I mean, that should be clarity enough right there. I mean, I think there was some stuff that was said in the last deal and some emails sent out by yourself that said you have the right to hire anybody and everybody.
The appointments come under my position. But every hire I've done since I've been here has been by committee. And the committee was about, the one time the committee didn't involve the supervisors and the supervising employee was when we interviewed for public rounds the day after Bill Ramsey got promoted. So I didn't include him in the interviews. It was his first day as supervisor. But every other time, the person that's involved in the process has been in on the interviews. It's been done with teams. The last hiring process with a young man who left right away, I believe Ms. Shelton voted for him in my office. She was there for the interviews. It wasn't me saying this is who we're going to hire.
Well, I understand.
And we also did not take minutes for that one either because we hadn't done that before with Mr. Avery, so we weren't aware that I didn't think interviews could be put out. I thought that was probably some type of law to where that's a private.
There wasn't five Parks Board members at those interviews. So there wasn't a quorum, so it didn't have to be posted as a meeting.
Okay.
I'm ready to work with anybody and anything, Mr. Steele.
No,
I just need to know that they want to work with me.
I just want us all to get on the same page.
Absolutely.
That's all we want to do. We want to get on the same page. If you want to set in on the deals, but I feel like it's the park board's decision, and then they bring it to the council like they always have in the past, for us to hire. You know, the last deal, the mayor said in the last meeting, he said that they didn't follow it because they didn't approve the minutes of that meeting.
There was 10 or 15 different things. I mean, Kevin, when it comes down to it, there'd be a lot of reasons there. It was the process in general. It can't be changed.
I understand, but I mean, you know, like when the last kid was hired, we didn't even know that we even had a Parks and Rec director until he came out here and stood in front of us and introduced himself. I mean, that's not the park board picking it and the council approving. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, it just seems like the waters are a little bit muddy here. Just time to kind of clear them up. And that's all I'm asking is that we make it clear for the park board that they have a quorum of at least five people.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Pick your candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you or Justin come present that candidate to the council. Is that basically?
My preference would be that we all do it together. That's how I've been trying to do everything.
Do the interviews together?
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah, and when you say everything.
Actually, the young man we hired last time, I didn't decide who to interview. I let the Parks Board decide who to interview. So I wasn't even on that process. And that's how it usually goes. Bill Ramsey decides who we're interviewing for public grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Harley decides who we're interviewing for water.
Yeah, I don't think the park board has any. I don't think you guys have any problem with Mr. Avery sitting in on the interview process.
No, we never have.
It's just that I think my issue with it is that it needs to be their decision, not. The city administrator's decision on who's hired.
Okay. And I think we have two different policies that need to be adjusted on them thinking that they're able to do that, and well, then what this shows.
This shows they make a recommendation.
Right.
Back to the council. Right.
Mm-hmm. But all throughout our ordinances, the mayor or the city administrator appoints everybody. Actually, if you read the city ordinances, the mayor appoints everybody. He just delegates that authority to me as the city administrator. All employees work for the mayor. He is the head of the city. So, but I don't have a process doing like we did when we hired the young man who left. More than happy to do that again.
But you want us to have minutes, right?
If we have a quorum, we have to post it. We have to have a closed session, just like on the type of the agenda for tonight, outlining only personnel because there wouldn't be any legal or land issues.
Okay.
Hiring, firing, disciplining, and promoting.
Okay.
Every time there's a personnel decision, we have to follow these rules.
Right.
So.
And I would like to see the board and leadership try to assist them instead of not. We just need to all work together.
Right. Okay. But at the same time, Mrs. Geddes, when I say I'm not available Wednesday or Thursday because I have to represent the city at MPUA, mm-hmm. and then we schedule interviews for Wednesday night when I'm at MPUA, I feel that's not working together also.
Correct.
So.
We need to schedule an hour available to be back and going forward in that.
We good? Good coming?
Yeah.
One more thing.
Okay.
We have never made decisions through text. The only decisions have ever been made is voting on what night to have whatever meeting, when can everybody make it. We try to get as many people to these meetings as possible so that there's not four of us making a decision, so that it is a whole board making the decision. So if there is any text that you guys feel like you need, I'm more than happy. We have a group, and then but things like that, I don't know why they're coming up. So, I mean, that's why I said we're all pretty honest people. We feel like there's a lot.
In some way, on that, is there a way, and I'm a firm believer in training and continuing education, is there a way that we can get a schedule on when you would be gone or meetings or anything that.
Yeah, it's, and Mr. Richardson asked me on Wednesday to be better with the text messages, sharing when things happen. So I'm going to get better about that. Previously, the people who sat up here, Mr. Weekly, Mr. Shilley, there were people that sat up here who didn't like all the text messages. So,
well, I think what she's talking about.
Right, when I'm leaving town, let you guys know I'm out of town for this, this, and this.
Well, I'm myself, you know, I mean, and like with the previous administrator, we had basically a calendar. She basically asked permission to go to whichever meeting, you know, I mean. I think that wouldn't hurt my feelings if we didn't have a year's calendar or at least 6 month calendar of the meetings that you're going to be attending and mm-hmm. and stuff, you know. Because I mean, I feel like a lot of those meetings are probably, you know, knowledgeable and would need to be there. Some of them may not be, you know, and some of them not only you go, some of them Heather and you both go, some of them even the mayor go. But I think it would be a bad idea if we had it, you know. I said years ago I thought we'd, you know, somehow have it on a Google calendar, you know, but we never did get that done either.
And my city calendar is accessible to Heather, Brad Evans, and Angie Long right now, but I can add you guys through email.
Well,
I see my city calendar.
And, you know, if like once a month we, you know, you come in here for January and you get where you're going to be going for the month of February, you know.
Okay.
I think there needs to be a meeting between the park board committee here with the park board.
Yeah.
Show respect for each other because it's got blown out of.
I talked to Willie. We was going to try to get together sometime between the holidays. It was just pretty crazy, though. We do try to meet a meeting. I know I talked to Justin last night about that. And, you know, the one thing that I'd like to see a representative from the park board come to the park because we put on the agenda to come and talk to us, if not once a month, but maybe once a quarter, to just, you know, so that we can bounce questions off of them, you know, whether it's pertaining to the golf course or pertaining to basketball or baseball, you know, or whatever it is that's coming up that we have coming up, you know, so.
But she's had a lot of questions that I know that others do.
Yeah,
it just needs to be put out there and settled and quit all this.
Yeah, agree. You sit on for a lot of years, and
I was on the park with Queen.
Yeah.
And Mayor, I have a question. So all appointments to the park board have to live within the city limits? Is that right? No?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, the state law establishes what's called a park fund through a property tax. And anytime there's a property tax set up, the state legislature, as we're all aware, tries to separate it out from the city so there's not a windfall. So what they did with that park fund as a property tax is they established a requirement for a 9-person board to oversee that park property tax money called the park fund. So that required people to live in the city limits. So I'm guessing, and I don't know this for a fact because I wasn't here, the city took the state statute and turned it into what we have. But we don't have a parks fund. So we can, in my opinion, I'm not a judge. A judge makes a final decision, obviously, but in my opinion, you can change that because we don't have that property tax that kicks in the requirement under the state statute for us to have a parks board. So we can set our parks board up however we want. If you want to decrease it to 7 members, you know, if we're having, but we have 8 right now, so we're in good shape, right? 8. Okay. So we're in good shape, but if you guys ever wanted to decrease it because we were having problems, as long as we don't have that property tax park fund happening, we don't have to follow the state statute.
They have a budget and we give money to
them. So what the Board of Aldermen decided when I first came here, and we first got the, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Stille, but when we first got the park tax in, the Board of Aldermen wanted the parks board to do the capital improvements with that park sales tax. Did I say that right? That was the intention of them. So that's what we've been doing, and that's where the parks board sets up a budget. If you notice, they don't budget for personnel and all the stuff that's in the general fund. That's done by you guys and through me. So they budget for the parks funds for that money that comes in for those capital items. Like right now, the volleyball, the pickleball, the basketball that's going on. Replacing the picnic tables, replacing the furniture at the pool. So they've planned all this out through that sales tax fund. And Jennifer, please speak up. I'm speaking out of turn. So that's where that comes from, is the board selected to let them make a budget. And if the board needed to, you guys have, anything they do has to be approved by the board, expenditure-wise, over $7,500.
By their board or by the council?
By the board of aldermen. So you guys have to, any expenditure. So there's three ways to spend money, if this is what you're asking me. If I'm going off course, please tell me. There's three ways to spend money. The department head, so Chief Evans can spend $749.99. He can do that on his own to take care of his department. The city administrator, through being the budget officer, is allowed to spend $7,499.99. Everything above $7,499.99 has to come to council for approval. So what's happened in the past is they approved putting a fence up at the basketball court, which we're still trying to get the contractor to show up. That was $6,700. I signed off on that as the budget officer. I didn't bring it to the Board of Aldermen. Just like I would have if Brad Evans came in and asked to spend $6,700 on a budget of having for the police department. So is that making more sense? So we can do whatever we want with our parks board unless we get a property tax for our parks, and then we have to match the state statute.
So park board members can live outside of the city?
Right now, you have school district right now.
Outside
Mr. Hudson, am I on
target? Outside of the
school district is our ordinance.
Did that answer your questions? I hope. I started rambling. I apologize. So everybody knows my daughter's in the emergency room. She just tested positive for COVID, and she has an asthma history, so I'm a little. So I apologize if I'm disjointed.
There's people trying to log in on the deal, and it's not allowing to log in. I don't know whether there's problems with it.
Okay. We good with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, next we have ordinance 2022-100. We had a little correction that we needed to make in there to make it match what we had approved to the council. I would like to do this first and second reading tonight if we could, since we didn't do the first reading last year. So, if I could get a motion for bill number 100, ordinance 2022-100.
this is a significant increase. It's the same.
Exact same prices, except they didn't set the, remember he was saying they didn't set deadlines on the dumpsters, but they feel like people were hanging on to them too long because they had a limited number. So the deadlines on the dumpsters were added.
I'll make a motion for the first reading.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a second motion for bill number 100, ordinance 2022-100, an ordinance approving contract between the City of Houston, Missouri and the Waste Cooperation of Missouri, Inc., by title only. First off, you, Mr. Stille?
Yes.
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 Okay, I'd like to do the second and final reading by title only for bill number 100, ordinance 2022-100. I'm going to get a motion. I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a second motion for bill number 100, ordinance 2022-100, by title only, ordinance approving a contract between the City of Houston, Missouri and the Waste Cooperation of Missouri. Dr. Hugh, answer.
Yes.
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 Okay, next, KPM, Mr. Avery.
Our contract with KPM, which I guess has been doing the audit here for years. I'm looking at Mr. Romine and Mr. Honeycutt. For a long time, correct? They were the only one that's that bid when we put it out for bid. 2020's audit cost us $17,500, but we also had the extra charge in there that wasn't in the contract, so we've added that. So this $5,000 uniform guidance single audit is required if we receive more than $750,000 in federal money. So when we received the fire truck and that grant, that put us over the $750,000 in that year. So we had to have the single audit done, but we didn't have it in the contract. So this time they've included it. If we have that $750,000 issue kick in, it'll be $5,000 for that single audit.
Motion to approve the bid for KPM to do the audit.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a second motion to use KPM for the audit fees of 21, 22, and 23. We'll start with you, Mr.
Stewart.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And we got the audit, and she came and spoke to us. And it, I just felt it was very hard to look over that and pass it. So I would like to request whenever they do the audit, could we get that ahead of time before our meeting and get that passed out to us so we can review it and look at it and just go over compared to last year and see what's going on. So.
Correct. The audit goes to the state auditor,
uh-huh.
And they send it no matter what.
Uh-huh.
So. But we can get that to you as soon as we have the
yeah, it just would be nice. It's hard to look when they're here and telling us and trying to go through it,
mm-hmm.
and compare it and just ask questions on that. So if we could just get that prior to our meeting.
I get a, what I'm saying is I get a PDF early and I can send that to you.
Perfect.
Mr. Andrew Terrence.
So we worked on Terrence, we talked about it on December 16th. Mr. Etzem wrote a wonderful letter to them, and they immediately called and said, what if we put a cap of 10% on the price increase? So this all goes back to the price of steel increase, which in August was 74.6% increase in the price of steel. So that's what the chassis prices going up are. So they're willing to put a 10% increase cap on this. I looked at steel prices Thursday before I put this in your packet, and they were at $768, so they're actually lower than what they were in December 2020. So what I like to do is wait and see what this letter says they send us, and when we get the letter, I'll have Mr. Essen look at it, and if it's truly got the cap in it, I'd like to move forward with the lease of the truck, which I made copies of, so you guys have it. This is what was approved back in April.
So it's 10% over the bid price?
10% over the cost, and then it'll break into the lease price. So once they give us a letter, we'll have all those costs broken down in the letter. So this is the lease agreement that was approved in April of 21. So once we get all that, Mr. Hudson, look, we'll move on from there. But I'd like, if you guys are, unless you guys want to go ahead and abandon this, I'd like to move forward and see if they give us that letter and what those price increases could be.
Do you think they'll have that letter by our next meeting?
I believe so. They were off for Christmas, so they first got back to the office today.
Council want to table this till the next meeting then?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
CDs, Mr. Avery?
We have that CD laddering plan going on. So we're, if you look at the screen behind you, and I'm going to share the screen, I'm sorry. So we're right here. This is the one you guys are purchasing tonight. It'd be a 3-year CD for maturity in 2025. And that would give us the 3 CDs across the board for the year. So basically, once we get down to September, you'll be buying 1 3-year CD every month, except for July. Right now we have a set May and July, but when we get closer to May, as long as the finances are holding up, I'll probably ask you guys to purchase 3 more CDs in May to bring us to $3.3 million. And Bank of Houston had the best rate. They had 0.8.
So the last ones that we bought, Scott, can you tell me who we bought those from?
Bank of Houston. They've been significantly beating everybody else. Yeah, we were doing West Plains. They were beating everybody, and the Bank of Houston started beating everybody these last couple times.
I just thought we were just going to try to spread it around the different banks.
And we can do that too if you want. It's just the difference in rate here. It's so significant.
Am I right? Is security 30? Is it 70% by?
Yeah.
You might want to consider that if you want to spread. And if that's our intent, it spreads some stuff out. Because I think the average for that amount, even though it's not a lot anyway. So I guess, Mr. Avery, is that the intent of the city is to, like Kevin was saying, is to spread, try to spread it out?
My recommendation would be that you do spread it out, diversify your portfolio. I'm sure you all heard that. So, but you know, my recommendation is always with these low rates is to get as much interest as you can out of them. But 0.05 is over 3 years. There's not a whole lot of money. It's noticeable.
Somebody from the council want to make a motion and recommendation to use?
I'll make a motion for this CD that we would go with Security Bank. Okay. 0.75 to diversify our CDs around the very banks.
Second motion to use Security Bank for our CD, 36-month CD this time.
Yes.
Okay, next, health insurance. I think you wanted this on the agenda.
I did. I just need some clarification. On the budget that we passed December the 6th, all the insurance now is all under one lump sum, $243,000. So all the health insurance, workman's comp, life insurance, vehicles, is all under one amount. And we changed that to make it easier.
I apologize, it's two amounts.
It's what?
Two.
Two what?
Two different amounts. The insurance is all under, the property and casualty is under one, and health insurance is under another line item.
Where is property and casualty?
I'm looking right now.
Okay, so it used to be under each department, how much police was, how much life was, how much, and how much vehicles. So it was easy for us to discern if we're hiring a police officer, what's the cost? The salary plus that insurance, and that kind of gives us the idea on the budget. So anyway, it's all changed, and we might want to look at that. But anyway, it's all under that amount. And
5083. If you go down the left-hand side and find account 5083, okay. That's your general liability, which includes your errors and omissions, your property, and everything.
And from my understanding, on December the 6th, so elected officials can be offered health insurance. They have to pay for it. The last ones that we had, Don Cruz as a councilman had that reimbursed, and Don Rust had that, had health insurance and reimbursed. So on December 6th, we passed the budget. I just have some questions that need to be asked. And I asked, was health insurance for any elected officials? And if we have that, where does that money go when they reimburse that? And the clerk said, it goes into the miscellaneous fund for reimbursement. And I asked the clerk if anyone, any elected official has health insurance. And she responded no. And no response from the mayor or from the administrator. So on that, I had requested, on 12-17, first requested the clerk request all individuals who have health insurance coverage by the city, and got a response on the 17th of December that the total bill is divided up by the number of people that had that. Sent a second request that evening on the 17th, second request to request all individuals who have insurance. And on the 20th of that meeting, when I got, and I can give you copies of this, I got a request of just from January through October, the total amount, which it goes from $25,000 to $30,000 each month it changes. And she explained that depends on if we have a new employee or old employee that quits, or, and that would change that amount. So that evening after the meeting, I sent a third request that please provide the individuals that have insurance. And she responded with that. I got that on the 27th last Monday. And I asked for the last 3 months, which is Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. And it explains how much it is for self, for two persons, for self-independent, family independence, and what employees have that. But my concern was is that the mayor is listed on here for having insurance provided by the city. And I just needed that explained, that when the clerk said no, we didn't have any elected officials, and the mayor's not an employee, and just what is, and that whole showed that for the last 3 months on here, and what had changed, or if the mayor's reimbursing the city for that.
Well, I think when you asked me, I recall you saying any alderman that day, and I said no.
I asked for all individuals, and during the meeting on the 6th, I asked if any elected officials had coverage, and you said no.
And then I think we were talking about at one time, because I think you brought it up, Sheila, that some aldermen had health insurance at one time, or you thought maybe when...
You let them.
Yeah.
And they can have that, absolutely, and it should be offered, but you have to reimburse the city. So I just had a question on... when did that start, and if you're reimbursing the city for that?
For me?
Yes.
No. Started whenever I first came in here. I was offered that, and that couldn't enroll until we had the...
So when did your insurance start, you know?
20.
And then are you reimbursing the city for that?
No.
So I think that needs to be done, because an elected official can have it offered, but you need to reimburse the city for that. There needs to be a charge for that, as in the past. That's not provided free. If it was an ordinance that changed that, I'm welcome to see that, because you know, I was just trying to see, make sense of this. So, and it's $450 a month, and if you've had that since 2020, we need to look at what legal we need to do, or what the council decides to do, or where we need to go forward on that. And how someone had to initiate adding you to the policy, and just who was that that added you to the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield?
I didn't add myself.
I would assume someone needed to contact Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield and had say, here's their name, here's their birthday, here's their address, here's their social security, they need to be added to the policy. And whether that was the clerk, the administrator, the mayor, how was that done?
Well, internally, here, what was that when they did open enrollment?
January of 20.
And all the things that were.
Yeah, January 20.
So all those wanted to apply.
Mm-hmm. So you're wanting me to reimburse, I guess, is what you're saying for this year? That
elected officials can be offered, but they have to pay for it. And then, just a question, I mean, why were the whole council told no, there was no elected officials on the city's insurance?
I replied to ask the alderman that night, and I don't know.
No, I asked if any elected officials had coverage, because I got that in my notes, and how it was responded. And if any elected officials had that, and how we would go about, if someone had that, and they reimburse the city, what fund does that go into so we could track? That should be easily be tracked as a personal check, if it's monthly, and there should be an entry each month.
Does our insurance even allow us to have non-city employees on our insurance?
The elected officials, yeah, just like our retirement. Are you in the retirement?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so just like the retirement, they allow the elected officials. Just like the fire insurance that we got through FFMA, they allow the elected officials to be in there.
Okay, and I was very specific. I did not say what all of them on there. I asked, is health insurance for elected officials? And the mayor, like me and like you, are an elected official. We run and we're elected. And he can absolutely have it, but you have to pay for it. And now, what do we do with the situation?
I don't know, where does it say I have to pay for it, Angie? I mean, I just came in here and got insurance, like I assume it was before. What's it?
That's Mayor Cottingham here paying insurance.
Mayor Hutchison did not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's previous, so I'm just trying to find the truth on how you got added and who made that decision.
I don't know if it goes in a pool. I don't know. I mean, I've filled out my paperwork to be in on the insurance, just like any city employee would go on there.
So I'm just asking the administrator, the clerk, how was he added?
It would have been through open enrollment.
Well, I understand that, but who gave the authority to add in for the city to pay that, and with him not to compensate the city?
Okay, I'm unaware of a policy. I'm unaware of a policy that requires them to compensate the city. And I was also unaware that we didn't reach out to all the elected officials. I don't get involved. I fill out my paperwork just like everybody else. If you want me more involved in that, I'll be more than happy to do that. But there's division of work here that I'm trying to take. So we don't require you to reimburse the retirement. We pay that for you.
Right, after an alderman is vested for so long, then you can enroll in lockers.
No, we start paying the day you start. The day you were sworn in, we start paying.
Anyway, it's $450 a month, and just what we need to do.
Okay.
And what bothers me is why, whenever I ask, does any elected official have that? Heather said no, and then you didn't say anything. So that really bothers me on why you were saying it.
I said I didn't know. And I didn't know
and
until...
And they were silent.
I actually asked her after the meeting was over, was she talking about me or what?
And I thought I was just... So that was a misunderstanding. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I think we need to talk about what we're going to do.
Speak up.
How many months of entrances have you currently put up, do you know?
I don't know. Whenever I signed up, I've never used the insurance or anything.
Do we have that? Like Mr. Avery said that he wasn't aware. Do we have that, the guidance or the requirements somewhere? I mean, that we need to examine first before we take this any further? I don't know. I'm just trying to be the process right now, the way it is now. And he may have researched this and have gotten that. I've not seen it.
What's
it? The requirements for the insurance that would have to be, reimburse the amount.
Well, full-time employees are 40 hours, but under health insurance in the manual, it says anyone that works 30 hours and an employee is provided health insurance.
Right.
And we provide, is this correct, Heather? We provide 100% for the client, the family, the spouse. They pay deductibles and they pay copay. Employees are different than elected officials.
Okay.
Elected officials can absolutely have it, but they have to pay for it.
Okay, that's what I was getting at.
And my question, so we don't have a policy that says we pay your loggers either. Do we need to make a policy for that too? That's my question. Because we pay 100% of your logger.
If we don't, yes.
Okay.
So yes, we need to do that, and we need to look at...
So when I walked in the door, I left those policies as is. Because I didn't want to change everything. But I'll get with Mr. Edson and we'll figure out a way to make this policy.
Edson, you receive loggers and it's not in your policy either. You receive loggers.
Sorry?
You receive loggers.
Yes, I do.
Mr. Edson,
do you... I am considered an employee, though. So, you know, withholding them, all that, yes.
But I mean, it's not in the policy anyway. I looked at all the policies.
You receive our,
like, their loggers, my loggers, your loggers, all that's nothing's I've got them up here. Not yours, but I've got mine. And council's. So did you want to address that too, I guess, on this?
So I'll get with Mr. Edson. We'll come up with a policy. It sounds like we need a policy that says the city will pay one. Mr. Edson, I'm looking at you for help. City will pay 100% of the loggers for all elected officials, and any elected official that chooses to have health insurance will reimburse the city for the expense. Are we going to allow you guys to turn your checks over towards that reimbursement? Or do you want us to give you a check, you put it in the bank, and you pay us back? Which way do you want it?
So are you saying if I would choose to opt to take the insurance, I'd leave it however is a workable situation? So my check's $160. That's not going to cover the $450.
No.
So I would have to issue a payment to you.
Correct.
On that. So, and the mayor is what, $600 is what your salary is?
Yeah.
I don't think you write a check.
Do you want us to pay and take a check back?
Okay. Don't you think?
Mr. Edson?
Yeah, we'll pay for that.
Do you have any other questions before we put this policy together?
Probably should address a few things in closed session.
Okay.
Anything else on health insurance?
So who can call and add people onto the policy? Just Heather?
You have to submit it through an accident. Yeah.
But only one person can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ministry of Communications.
We're still waiting on the parts to come in for the fuel pump at the airport, and we are still in a holding pattern on the lighting project, waiting to hear back from MoDOT Aviation. The fiber splicers have finished up. They got a couple more days.
Okay.
So the fiber splicers have a couple more days. Leaf back and chipping continues as always, because we're having fun with that. Little kids basketball went really well. We had Micah Lee from Raymondville step up and really make a difference in the little kids basketball, so that was a huge help. Thank you to the parents who came out and helped with that. That was awesome. We ended up short one basketball coach, so we combined two teams in the fifth and sixth grade boys. So we had three teams, now we only have two in that. From Houston, then we have one outside team. So, and that's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. Comments from the Board of Aldermen?
Well, this was brought up to me. Several people are wondering why we're not advertising our open jobs in the local newspapers.
I had that brought up to me also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't. They don't do Facebook. They don't know what's going on.
We put it on the website and the Facebook because it doesn't cost us anything. And we've always had enough applicants from those two. So.
I would suggest we advertise it
to
Houston Herald and advertise
their
paper.
Okay, we didn't budget for that. I'll
find the money. Anything else? Yeah, motion to go under closed session. 610.021 subsection, legal actions, cause of action, or litigation, and 610.021 subsection, legal action, leasing, purchase, or sale of real estate.